When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world.
You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Everybody, thank you for joining us. Our first song is a little bit different. It's called Longer, and it's talking about a person loving somebody from before eternity, if you can wrap your mind around that. And that reminds me of what Jesus said, what John said about Jesus, when he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So I like to think of it as singing it to Jesus, but also it's a special song for us because it was at our wedding. So since this is Valentine's Day weekend, we wanted to play it for you.
And if you'd like to look up the song, it's by Dan Fogelberg, and it's a beautiful love song. Thank you.
Well, Stephanie, what do you say we play our version of On Christ's Solid Rock I Stand?
Okay, let's do it. Jeff Bradshaw is called "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus."
Okay.
Well, hello, everybody. It's my honor to introduce, Jeff Bradshaw. Right off the bat, I can tell you he's smarter than me because he was in computer science. And he's written several books, but in his midlife years, he started going to Haiti. Why don't you tell us about that, Jeff?
Well, in my early 40s, I found that my career wasn't the end-all and wasn't the place that was going to satisfy my soul and the deeper things that God had put in my life. And so what actually happened was I started sponsoring children through a wonderful ministry called Compassion International.
And yeah, we do that too.
Praise God. And so that got me actually in my mid-40s traveling to Haiti.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, we had a child we sponsored, and we had a couple of them, and the one from Haiti was the closest one to Florida, where I live. And so I said to the wife, we ought to go visit and see the work that they're doing with our child in Haiti that we're sponsoring. So that kind of started me with this traveling overseas for ministry.
Before we get into what you're doing, I wanted to ask you, okay, you were in computers for a long time, and then this, what was it like culturally to make that radical shift?
Well, for me, it was pretty radical to leave living 45 miles outside of New York City and being stationed in West Texas was a radical change for me right there. So maybe that was God preparing me for what I'm doing now, going to third world countries, if you will.
But when you saw third world countries from the point of view of having been dealing with, you know, technology and so forth, what was it like? I mean, we have so much.
Yes, I can tell you two things. First of all, when I came back from Haiti, I just sat in my house, and all I could think about was how blessed I was to live in the United States and have access to everything we have. When I was over in Haiti, it was like I was going back 200 years living in the 1800s in the United States, or even behind that. When I went to Haiti versus what we have here. We're very, very blessed in this country.
Wow. So getting into your work, I was really interested because you have the water purifiers and you work with homeless and you work with orphans and the widows. There's so many people that you work with. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, and I would just like to preface that with, you know, I love the fact that you're, before I dive right into that, brother, I love the fact that on your website you have visions of love, and I'm a very, 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 very blessed man, and when I was struggling in my early 40s with living only for this life versus living for the Lord, He gave me a vision of His love for me, and everything that I do is because of God and because of just this identity of how deeply God loves us all. God really loves
you.
Wow. And so that was the springboard for me.
He first loved us.
Amen. And so that's been the springboard for everything, and there's times in my life where I try and get more focused on the work than what is behind the work, and that's Daddy's, our Heavenly Father's great love for every human being. So with that, well, the Lord kind of, like I said, when I had an encounter with God's love, the Lord really put me to the test of seeing how wonderful His love was in the lives of other people. And it started, as I spoke to you before the interview, about my wife and I sponsoring a child through Compassion International. With that sponsorship, the next step that the Lord took us through was to go to Haiti. And he's just by faith been stepping us through situations, and everyone, whether you're in Publix or you're in Haiti, wherever you are, really is an opportunity to see God's love and His presence and work around us. And so I take that with me in all these situations. So we went and visited the child in Compassion International. And what was interesting is the person that was supposed to take us on this journey of seeing our sponsored child, she had something else to do. So another pastor we met was a temporary and took us on this trip. And the whole time we were going to visit the child, he was telling us about a village up in the mountains that had tremendous needs. And so, long story short, we saw our child, we saw the wonderful work that Compassion was doing, and the Lord put it on my heart to return a year later to visit this village way up in the mountains in a town called Corleone, Haiti. And that launched sponsoring a village through my willingness to travel and my local church that I was in. We began to sponsor the work that the Father wanted to do in their community. So that was the first major step after Compassion.
How did you get into things like the homeless and the widows and working with the kids, that type of thing?
The widows, you know, the widows, the orphans, children in different situations in Haiti. Basically, Compassion International has a model for missions work or outreach into foreign countries and being partners with the local pastors and lay leaders. And so via building these relationships with the different people that I was meeting in Haiti, we got into things like bringing blessings to the widows and sharing the gospel and bringing food to the children in schools or medicine or all those different things through the gospel and through relationship building. A lot of exciting things have happened. All glory to God, of course.
Can you tell us any stories about that type of stuff?
Sure. Well, I have to laugh because, you know, when you say yes to the Lord, there's no telling what situations he's going to put you in. And Haiti is quite a difficult place to try and do anything, let alone ministry. And so this village that we go to, or I've gone to for numerous years up in the mountains, has this little road that travels up the hills, and it looks like a riverbed, basically. It's not a paved, and a lot of rocks, and we have to drive up there in an SUV. So it's quite a trip to go from the city of Port-au-Prince for a 4-hour drive up into the mountains to Corleone. And when you talk about stories, I have lots of stories about those trips. And I'm just amazed at God's faithfulness in keeping me alive doing this. And a lot of stories where we were stuck with the car, and God just made a way for us to get to our destination up there and get back safely. Just definitely God really loves us, his hands with us, and I've seen it in action in this trip, you know. And a lot of, you know, there were prayers for dead cars that God got started. There were situations where we had the brakes going out on us, and we managed to get safely home, et cetera, et cetera. But this village that we go to in Corleone is really remote. It's really sheltered, and it's neat to experience that culture that is so different than what we're used to, either from a technology perspective or from an American perspective, to go into a community that is radically different and to interact with the people and to see their love and their welcoming invitation and just co-laboring with them. It's been quite a journey experiencing that. And what I love about it is that the people in the community are taking hold of the work, and they're really loving and blessing the people in their neighborhood, in their community. So it's been wonderful to see God bring people to be a part of the support network, if you will, and just watching them move forward, because we were, over the years, able to build a new church up there and a new school up there, to see teachers brought into place, and so many things coming together. So many things I could share, but the grace of God and the love of God is real. And that's what I witnessed by working with these people, for example, up there in Corleone. But now with the orphans and the widows and what I'm doing today, so that began like in the year 2000. And for 15 years, I was really focused on Corleone, and then a little bit of work in Port-au-Prince and some of the orphans in the schools that we would visit. And the Lord put it on my heart that let's let the people graduate and move forward and do have more and more ownership of this. And so in the last 5 years, I've been getting more into working with the homeless and working with orphans and things like that. So that's kind of the next transition that the Lord has taken me through.
Would I be correct in assuming that a lot of the people there are like indigenous to their own culture, indigenous missionaries?
Yes, I've met a lot of wonderful Haitian people that have started their own ministries, and there's opportunities for people to work with them. Now it's challenging, and nobody likes to say, no, I can't do this or whatever, you know. But it's funny, the parable of Jesus taking the fishes and the loaves and turning them into a full meal for people. What I found in the mission work that I've done and working with the indigenous believers and leaders, that there's plenty that the Lord can do when the two come together, whether we're the blessed from here and from the church and working with the people in the field over there that are indigenous. There's a lot that the Father can do, but it takes patience and growing and understanding and watching, basically, and waiting on the Lord to move. Well, a couple of things. Number one is when I began back in 1999 going over to Haiti, it began with me meeting this pastor that I mentioned to you when we were visiting the sponsored child and sending him a letter once a month. And then, so that was for 12 months. And then the following year, I went to Haiti. And after that, I would go to Haiti at least two, if not three times a year. I spent a lot of my vacation time on traveling there, and my family was very understanding and supporting of that. Initially, it was just the writing of letters and traveling over there during my vacation time because I still worked in the computer area. Nowadays, everybody has a phone. I mean, you can go to all of these countries. It is so much easier today to connect with Christian leaders across the globe because of Facebook and phones. I call people all over the world now with the send mail, you know, the Facebook free phone calls and the messaging that you can do through Facebook. That makes it just so easy to communicate with people and build relationships like I'm talking about. And then just pray around that and mention to other people what's going on and wait and see who God brings into their lives. Like you, Tim and Stephanie, this is how I've been operating for the last 20 years because I know God really loves us. It's so real. It's so life-giving. And so I constantly in my heart say, Lord, you put me in this place of knowing you, and you love me. And so I just believe you're going to make it happen, and I'm not going to force the issue. But with the technology we have today with the phones and the applications on the phones, it's very easy to build these relationships where you can begin to work together for God's glory. Well, like I said, I mean, nowadays what I found, like in Haiti, for example, or recently I've been interacting with a gentleman whose dad and him have a ministry in India, and he's evangelizing and sharing Bibles and blessing people with things. They have phones, so we're able to see pictures, exchange pictures, and communicate to do our visits. Like Compassion International taught, mission work doesn't have to be all about missionaries going to a country and living there full time anymore. That now it's about empowering. The gospel message is all about empowerment, being empowered in God's love. And so now through the empowerment of the life of the gospel, we can interact with people and watch what the Father does for bringing his kingdom together in our small acts of love. And that's the technology of the phones and the computers, but most poor people that don't have a lot, they want to have a phone. You know?
And, really?
Yes, and they get phones. And so that really helps now in today's mission field. And full-time missionaries are great, but you don't have to be a full-time missionary to have an impact. And with some of these other people that are locals that are doing ministry.
That concludes part one of this interview. We hope you're enjoying it so far, and please stay tuned for part two next week.
To contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Or if you don't know Christ or need prayer, please call 507-369-6861. Thank you. I hope you've enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Jesus, I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. But it's all about you. It's all about you.